Greet each of you in Jesus' name this morning. I know it took a little extra effort and it looked a little extra like we needed to be a little extra cautious to get here, but I'm glad we are here. Some of you know that we traveled through the night to get home yesterday to stay ahead of the storm. That all worked out well, and praise the Lord for that. But as I was coming through Phillipsburg about 4:30 Saturday morning, the one church sign was flashing and it said, "Have a happy Sabbath day today." And it just was kind of an interesting sign to see at 4:30 on a Saturday morning and realize that there are people that are naming this day as the one to be the day of rest and the day that we turn our focus especially toward God. And I was just thankful to know Jesus and to wait one more day and have it on his resurrection day. It was I thought about that, and then I thought about the possibility that we might not even have church on Sunday morning. This was early Saturday morning. I thought, again, of what a privilege we have to just have a regular tradition of gathering together as God's people and serving him, worshiping him. You open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. I have a message this morning that was an assignment a number of months ago, and I remember when I was finished studying it, thinking that it was one of those that I, if the right time and place came again, I'd preach it again because it seemed to be such a valuable message for me. Hebrews chapter 12 is a passage that I find personally to be very interesting and applicable to my Christian life, and it has many subjects and ones that I think particularly those of us who have been Christians for many years and are in what we call the grind of life that address us. And I want to talk about chastisement this morning because it is a real factor. It's a real part of following the Lord. It's a part of being loved by him. But let's read the first 13 verses here for our consideration. "Wherefore, seeing also ye are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and have ye forgotten the exhortation which was spoken unto you as children? My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we had our fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." Stop reading there. When I was assigned this passage as a message, the title that I was given is Chastisement from the Lord. Now, that question is answered in what I just read to you, but I want to look at a couple other passages just to get started to help us understand the centrality of chastisement and how much it's a real part of life. Go back to Psalm 94. I want to read a couple verses there. We're going to look at two passages from the Old Testament and one more from the New and use that as the foundation to answer this question. Does chastisement come from God? Psalm 94, verses 7 to 14. Verse 7, Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the Lord God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chasteneth the heathen, shall he not correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall he not know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of men, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. And there the question is answered, that God is the one who chastises. He does the heathen, actually he does everybody. And if we are blessed, verse 12 says, we are blessed when God is going to chastise us. But this passage shows God to be very much in charge or overall of what happens in people's lives. Shall he that made the eye, shall he not see? It shows God to be central to people's lives and that he chastises people. Now flip over to Proverbs chapter 3, another passage that answers the question of does chastisement come from God? Verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. And there you have it. When God loves a man, the man gets corrected. He's not allowed to just go in whatever path he starts out on and just stay on that path. But God is involved in that person's life, correcting him as we go. Now go the whole way to the back of the Bible, to Revelation chapter 3, for one more passage. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So now we have looked at four passages, two in the Old Testament, two in the New, and they all answer this question, does God give chastisement? Is chastisement from the Lord? And the answer is yes, 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 and yes. Matter of fact, I can't find any Bible passages that project something different than that. Well, the passage we read in our text was that our fathers would chastise us after their pleasures, and they do it for our good. But I knew that when this assignment was given, that the question is chastisement from the Lord wasn't the real question. Recently, I was reading a book written by a medical doctor, and he talked about this phenomenon known in the medical world as doorknob disclosure. He says that every doctor knows that that many times when you go into the examining room with a patient and you have a conversation, that you really don't have a conversation about what's going on until you turn to go. And he said it's a well-known phenomenon that when the doctor stands to go, he'll put his hand on the doorknob and say, oh, by the way, was there anything else? And the person will lean back and say, well, yeah, there was one thing, and then they know why the visit is actually scheduled. That's not true when we're bent over with the flu, but there's a lot of times, and this is how life is. Many times we want answers to the questions, but we don't really want to ask the real question, and we definitely don't want to ask it first, because usually our real questions are conversations killers, not conversation starters. But I thought about that as I was given this assignment, and so I'm going to go now and go to what I believe are seven deeper questions about the chastisement of the Lord that are worth us answering, because it just might help us in everyday life. First of all, a deeper question is, what is this chastisement? And we're just going to lay down a few principles here of what chastisement is. If you look it up, this word as it's used in Hebrews 12 in a Strong's Concordance, which I often like to do when I'm studying, because it may not be the final authority, but it will give us synonyms that help us to understand the picture. And so when I look at Strong's, it'll tell me that chastisement is education, it's nurture, it's training, and it's disciplinary correction. And you can hear a little bit of a spectrum there. Education and disciplinary correction are not really the same actions. It's true that a teacher down at school may do some disciplinary correction, but that's not the spectrum of what they're doing. But the education is. And so what you see is that chastisement is teaching, chastisement is laying the facts out and helping this student or the child or whoever's being corrected to chastise to understand the bigger picture. A dictionary makes the word stronger. It says that chastisement is to censure severely or to inflict punishment. And when somebody is chastised, there's more than just information being dispensed. It's not just go do this list of chores. It's not just here's how something works. But it is a combination of both of them. It's go take out the garbage, gather all the trash cans, put them in a big garbage bag, and put the big garbage bag in the big garbage can, and take the garbage can out by the road because Bergemeyer's is coming around lunchtime today. And there's a sense in which you can say that that is chastisement in the broad sense as the word is used. Now, it goes broader than that and will include other things, but that is part of it. It is where you take something that needs to happen, and with the instructions, you give the steps and the whole package and turn them loose to do with the here's how. Here's how we do this, and here's how we do that. And many times, matter of fact, for the most part, this education is for the purpose not just of getting a job done, but it is education for the purpose of helping this particular person to operate on a different level, to operate differently, to change, if you want to say it real simple. Chastisement is for the purpose of change. Let me ask you a question. For the most part, do people need a change? Look at yourself, look around, look at your little brothers and sisters, look at the youth, look at the middle age. Do people need to change? I think if we were honest and didn't have to write this list where somebody else would read it, we would admit to ourselves that both us and the people we are largely exposed to, whether it's brotherhood here in the church, or the people you meet here in Tyrone or this community, we would kind of have the understanding that there's at least some things that they could change and they would be better by it. And chastisement of the Lord is the process by which God works out change in me, in us, one by one, sometimes together as a group. And the Bible will teach us that He does it because He loves us. Chastisement is a deliberate education for specific areas of change when and where it is needed. Are there any children in school that are lazy? They just don't get their homework done. They just don't stick at it. Yeah, matter of fact, a lot of us, maybe all of us, just about all of us anyway, took our turns with that need in our life. It just, you know, even if we threw ourselves into our work, we were too sloppy, and we turned out a product that could have been improved on. But that laziness in the child is there. By nature, we don't just bounce out of bed every morning. A few personalities seem to have it, but most of us have to be taught that it's time to get up and get your lazy bones going. But then you have something like dishonesty that's in us. David in Psalm says that from the womb we start to lie. And we're dishonest in accountability, we're dishonest in the reports. It happens, it's part of the fallen nature, and it's one of the areas where all of us sooner or later needs to change. Maybe it's being a spendthrift, careless with our funds, money burns holes in our pockets. I have a quarter, so I buy a piece of candy. And this is the operation, the level of a child. But it's some operations of some big people too. Impulse, run the credit card up against. And we need chastisement to change away from these destructive patterns. Selfishness and greed. It's not so very far from all of us to want either the biggest donut, the nicest bike, or the biggest pile of Kinects. My pile is bigger than yours, and if it isn't, I wish it was. I want it to be a bigger pile of Kinects. I want to make a bigger Ferris wheel. I want to make a more deluxe truck, one that drives by itself. I want to... a dinosaur that walks, and they have them. We have one at our house. You can make it out of Kinects. You put the motor in, the dinosaur walks. Would you all like one like that? Well, for the most part, you might just want two dinosaurs because that's how we are. And chastisement will be God's way of taking that drive out of the soul. The chastisement of the Lord is when he orders events or journeys with the deliberate intent of changing us because we need it. We got it. It's time. Who of us, selfishness, never came to the surface when we wish we wouldn't have to go to church so much, or we wish we didn't have to preach so many places, or we wish we didn't have to teach adult class this year, or we wish. These are just things right at church, but it goes on. Laziness, we just want to stay home. We just want so many interruptions. Greed, I've got to have. Not long ago, I was on a job and I was making plans of setting up an appointment for a later date. And when I named the one possibility that I could come, the man said, "Not that day, that's my birthday. I never work on my birthday." Whatever. He would be a better person if he did sometimes. But this is the things that drive us. And it's the areas where if we were making the hidden list, someone would write down, he could change in that area and he'd be a better person. So chastisement is this whole activity at the hand of Jehovah God himself, where he has the list. The eyes of the Lord see exactly who I am. And he knows where I am hoarding pleasure for myself. And he knows where I am just, I could have helped, but I didn't because I didn't want to and I'm not interested. And these are the areas where I could change. And chastisement is where God will enact his program into my world to change me into a person that is better in whichever way it best applies. Question number two is, can you know if you are being chastised? I don't have a lot of Bible verses to turn to, but it's kind of a funny phenomenon of the mind where we talk about these things and then we ask people, what would be some illustrations of chastisement that you have experienced? And our minds would go blank and we would act like we wouldn't know it quite if we were being chastised or not. Maybe that never occurred to you. Maybe you never felt that way. But the truth is that if I passed out tablets and pencils, I think most of us, if we stripped away all of our fuss and fuzziness around ourselves, we could start to write down the stories of where, as it were, the Lord took us to the woodshed. Because it happens. And it's there in your life. Can you know? Well, can you know when you're being spanked? I never heard of somebody that was taken to the furnace room, the bedroom, or the woodshed, and when they were done, they had no clue what happened. I kind of forgot. It didn't occur to them that that was what was going on. Is that because it's so physical? Is it so different when God punishes us or corrects us because he loves us? Well, of course not. And I think that the deeper question is not so much can we know if we are being spanked. It's whether or not we care. That apathy that can come into the soul. Apathy is one of the reasons why we need chastisements, and it's also one of the reasons why we get it. Because God wants to help us and make us better. He loves us. And yes, we know it when it happens. Number three, are there different levels to chastisement? Is all chastisement the same? Intensity, frequency, length? And the answer, of course, is no. There's all kinds. And I want to just take you back to Hebrews 12, to verse 6, where we answered the question whether or not chastisement is from the Lord. And I just want to show you a reason why I believe there are different levels, and we can tell there are different levels. So Hebrews 12, 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." In this verse, the Bible teaches us that God both chastens and scourges. And in my mind, as I was sorting through this, I came across some teaching that made sense to me, and I'm going to use it here because it helped me to understand what's going on in my world when God is chastising. And maybe if we understand it this way, you'll be able to spot the stories in your own experience even better. But you have these two levels of correction that God brings into my life. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, level number one, area number one, box number one, and scourgeth every son he receiveth, level number two, box number two. And what is the difference? Well, this chastening or corrective instruction, this writer says, can be better understood if we divide God's work in our lives into two categories, the part where he chasteneth and the part where he scourges. And the part where he chasteneth is where he brings events and moments into our lives where it is a trial that he brings to make our faith better, or a test moment. What will Dwayne do? And these are the ones that he places in our lives. And some of them are unavoidable because it's life, but it still is a moment in trust and a time when God speaks into our lives. And we have these moments that come into our lives. A couple weeks ago, the faucet was dripping. And so I knew it was a moment, and that you take it apart and you pull the cartridge out and you slide the new one back in and you put it all back together and you're done. It's about, if a man knows what he's doing, which I thought I did, it's about a 4-minute job if you have one. 5 minutes, you're wasting your time to change out a moment cartridge. It's just not much to it. A couple hands tools and you're done. Well, I set into it. First, I ran in here to town and got a cartridge, went back home again, and I shut the water off, took it apart, went to pull that cartridge out, and it wouldn't come. Well, the directions say that if it doesn't want to come, just take a hold of it with the pliers and work it a little bit. And so I worked a little bit, and then it went plump, and the whole assembly came right out of the wall because it was corroded fast and it was rotted in the back. And on the other side of the wall was the laundry with a drywall wall, because whoever wisely built our house didn't ever think that you would change a faucet in the shower. So I either could tear the shower out or I could move the laundry and tear the wall open. I ended up with a 5-hour project. The faucet was ruined. I had to sweat it apart and put all new, even use some shark bites. And what was supposed to be a 5-minute repair in life on a Saturday morning became a 5-hour project. So I ran to Lowe's, got the stuff, came into the shop, warehouse, got the sweating tools off the box truck and came in. You know what? That is a test in life. I mean, perhaps I'm the only man that doesn't feel irked at that point. Just, what in the world is going on? Who was the moron that built this house? And you know how your feelings go. But these are the events where God elected. Did he break the faucet? No, I did. Okay? But whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And he gives us these tests to show us who we are and to see what we will do, and it becomes a level of chastening. That's just a small thing. Something like this storm coming through is just a test point. Now, if you had nowhere to go and you weren't anywhere and it didn't matter and you just stayed home, it wasn't much of a test. But if you were in Michigan and you wanted to be in home in time because, initially they were talking 18, 20 inches and my Reynolds going to be gone and I can't ask the boys to shovel this out. I got to get home. Okay, so you drive all night to get home for 5 inches of slop. Whatever. Okay, but this can work on us. And it can bother us, and it brings out our true colors. Who am I? What are my values? And these are the moments where God will step into our lives and show us where change is needed and give us a pathway forward where we can choose a level of change. And this is corrective instruction. We have large moments. Maybe the whole church is affected. The Econo Lodge at Breezewood burnt down last night. I don't think anybody slept much in there anymore. It was pretty trashy. But there's people that worked there. This was their life. There was an owner who owned it. And it's an impressive fire. But it's a large moment that affected a lot of people. And God is working in people's lives through that fire. And it's chastisement. We have personal events. I could tell you the story of a trip that we were going to go to Ontario, and we got canceled because somebody got strep throat. Sickness is one thing, but the emotions and attitudes toward failed plans is another whole journey that we work through. And God brings these things. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And there's different levels. Some are small, like faucets. Some are large, like a death in the family. It impacts many people. But it's not just a funeral and then it's over. But there's a life to go on, and you live with the grief. And you live, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And it's our opportunity to change. But then the Bible talks about this scourging. And this really is a flogging. If you look the word up in Strong's, it means to get the cat of nine tails out and start striking. Okay? And this happens to the people who follow God, the people who serve Jesus. He scourges every son that he receiveth. And what is it that happens? Well, this writer said that in his opinion, we can best understand scourging when we look at the sowing and reaping that plays out in our lives. And God, even though he is very merciful, kind, and gracious, is wise enough to let us reap what we sow so that we can change. And it happens. Here's a man, and he's hungry for more sales in 2019 than 2018. And he pushes the envelope, and he works the extra hours, and he goes the extra mile, and he borrows the extra money, and he buys the new equipment, only to have it implode in some way. Disaster. Maybe he's a farmer, and it gives a drought. Or the economy turns into a trade war, and the milk prices drop. And he must reap what he has sowed. And God is loving enough to let this work out in my life. He doesn't save us. This young man pursues a friendship and a marriage with a woman who has some needs, but he can't see them, or he doesn't want to see them. And he marries her, and then the whip cracks and he has to live with her. And he wants to be pitied because he got a bad deal. And he wants to be helped because it's not what was supposed to happen. But he reaps what he has sowed. And in that, there is man after man in that very kind of story that is brought out in through the afflictions and the floggings of life just simply working out, because that's the trail you started on, that make us better people. And it's an incredible thing. But the Bible is teaching us here that this will happen to the sons he receives. And it can be the dreams of a couple. It can be, it's just so many things. I could give a lot of illustrations. You can think of them too. But God scourgeth every son that he received it. Happily ever after is only for heaven and fairy tales. In this life, we will be scourged. Now, question number four is this. Is chastisement actually good? Well, I read to you at Psalm 94 that we ought to say, at least this man said, blessed is the man whom the Lord correcteth. And we understand by reading things, places like the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, that yes, blessing is the good life. Blessed is the pure and are the pure in heart. Blessed are those that mourn. Blessed is he that is corrected. And the answer to the question is that God is good and chastisement is good because we are being changed. One other place in the, I think it's in 1 Corinthians, it would say that we are changed into the image of his dear son. But the text passage will tell us that chastisement is good, but it's not pleasant. And there is a difference between good and pleasant. You can put them together in some stories, but it's not pleasant right now. I read to you in verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. And so it's no good for us to try and portray the chastisement of God as something that's good right now. I've listened to people do that already, and I think they're only tricking themselves. We need to accept that a trial, a death, the Stauffer family, for them to act like it's good now, is only they're only making it hard for themselves. Because it's not pleasant now. Nobody ever said it was going to be. But it's just like, well, the illustration I heard the family doctor use, he said it's a little bit like the little boy that's standing and stomping at Walmart because he sees something on the shelf that he wants right now, and his mother is kind and good enough to say, no, we're not getting that. I have something in mind for you later. And it makes so much sense to me. In both natural and spiritual chastisement and scourging, grief, pain, and sorrow are typically the norm. However, this passage will go on to tell us that there's one thing that chastisement should not include, and that is self-pity. Look at verse 12. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet. It is not very hard to be down in the dumps over our trials, temptations, and spankings. But we know, a wise parent even knows, when it comes to disciplining children, that if after discipline they are drooping around, there's a secondary problem, and the problem is still not completely resolved. And here the scriptures are saying, now listen, God loves you. He will bring this chastisement into your life because he loves you and because he wants to make you a better person and because you need to change. Now stand up. Stop drooping around. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. But I know from personal experience that when God brings broken faucets into our world, it can be an easy thing to put the bottom lip out or the shoulders down and the knuckles drag on the ground. Why do I put up with this slut mess? Okay, the grumbling that comes with. And it's not, listen, if what I am learning about life is that I have no hope to discover the afterward peace and joy of chastisement if I am going to sow my experience right now with the down at heart, down at soul, self-pity that is a temptation. So lift up your head. Lift up your hands, straighten your path. The chastisement of our Lord is for a pathway for our highest good. Do you know how we got to the subject of chastisement in this passage? We came through the room of remembrance of what Jesus went through as he bought our salvation and is now at the right hand of the Father. And Jesus went through some difficult times, and he was literally scourged for our sakes. The Bible teaches that, and the story records it. Jesus learned obedience through suffering. The Garden of Gethsemane was a chastisement moment for him, and Pilate's Hall was a woodshed in the beginning of our salvation. But it was a pathway to our highest blessings. So we consider ourselves, God is doing this because he loves us. We know in our logic that the best way to spoil somebody is to let them have whatever they want, whenever they want it. You can do it with children. Bosses can do it with employees. Oh, you want more money? Well, here's more money. Oh, you want more hours? Well, here's more hours. Oh, you want a new truck? Well, here's a new truck. And you know what you're going to have after about 5 years? You're going to have a self-centered grump that destroys your tools and always has it in for you. I never was a boss, but I'm pretty sure that's how it works. Okay? I was a parent. I see parents do it to children, and it does not work. You cannot pop them a gumdrop every time they want some sweetness. But people do it, and then they have to reap for that. Well, number five is this question. Does chastisement ever end or stop? The answer is, situationally, in the moment, the answer is yes. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness. Do you hear the step-by-step dynamic? Not now, but then. When the chastisement is over, it's going to have a harvest, and the harvest is going to be peaceful. And so the answer is, does chastisement ever end? Well, the chastisement you're in right now will end. Your mother was right when she said, this too shall pass. Okay? But the other truth that I am learning about life, and when I preached this in the other congregation, the old men came to me and said, we know you're right. And my next point is going to be that when it comes to chastisement in this life, it'll probably never stop. Do you know that old people still feel like they get the strap? Have you ever talked to a senior citizen that said, I'm facing things now that I never faced before? So have I. Have you ever looked down the road and thought that once you get a little bit older, life will coast a little bit more? Ask the old people if that's how it is, and you will find that most of them say, perhaps. We definitely don't face some of the things we faced when we were 17 or 34 or 56. But they're still being transformed into the image of the dear Son of God. And God, who loves, will take an 80-year-old and bring him into a trial, and maybe he'll have to reap what he has sown. That's so normal in life. And the true answer is, does chastisement ever end? The moments of chastisement do, but as long as we're on this side of life, I think for the most part, we can expect this loving correction and improvement of the soul's splendor is going to go on between the Maker and the Created One until life is no more. And then, with God forever, all done. And we reap and we reap and we reap. Some of our chastisements, some of our trials can go on very long. I have a book on my shelf called, the title is My Son Johnny. I've probably talked about it before. But it's a story of a couple that was childless, and they went to many medical measures to have a child. And when the child was born, the doctor was drunk, and he harmed that child in such a way that it was an invalid all of its life. And for the next 24 years, he would say two words. And for the next 24 years, he would need round-the-clock care. And for the next 24 years, their lives were completely changed because of a doctor that was drunk. Up till that moment, there was nothing wrong. All tests indicated the perfectly normal child. But this was their lot in life. And the book is written by the husband, and he praises his wife as someone he never heard complain, as someone he never heard feel sorry for herself. He was an ordained minister. They were evangelists, and they traveled around the world preaching. And they prayed for a child, and when they got the child, they had to give up the other work that they enjoyed so much. And so there was a chastisement that lasted for 24 years. But the book is written as a glory to God of what all the Lord did for them and how much grace they received and all the things they learned in life because of this hardship. And it's an amazing read for me, and I read it occasionally because I want the perspective of how life can work out for people. But chastisement is nothing new, and I don't think it's going to go away. But it's an essential part of our lives. And when we get to the end of our lives, we will know that we have received it, and we will know that we have endured it, and we will know that we have something far better because we were faithful. Go to Revelation chapter 7. Yet, I want to read one more passage. It talks about people that came through chastisement. Revelation 7, verse 9, "And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, and honor and power and might be unto God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God to serve him day and night in the temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and their chastisements were over." Isn't that beautiful? Well, that's the Bible. That is the big picture. That is, by looking at our chastisements, we're looking at a small point by point. But this is the big picture, that at the end, when they gather around the throne, they're all dressed up in their white robes, and they are singing and praising, and they're at rest, and their needs are met, and there's just nothing that hurts anymore. No tears. The tears are wiped away. This is the perspective that we must always hold in our moments when life seems to be the darkest. And we just have to remember that this is what we're passing through. And it's for our good, because God loves us and he has something so much better in us. We need not stump and carry on at Walmart, because mommy has something much better at home that's waiting for us. And we keep that perspective because it helps to put it all in its place, doesn't it? Let's pray.